Proverbs 13:22 reads, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children," but it doesn't say how to do it. I am Rob West. Often when parents make out a will, they simply divide their assets equally among their children, including property. But maybe that's asking for trouble. I'll talk about that first today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, one of the most common sentences included in a will is this: "My estate will be divided equally among my children." That's fairly easy to do when the estate consists entirely of financial accounts that can quickly be converted to cash for distribution to heirs. It's quite another thing when the estate contains property, as most do. It immediately forces your heirs, usually your children, to make a difficult decision. Do they continue to hold the property in joint ownership, or do they sell it and divide the proceeds? A third option exists if one or more heirs are willing to buy out the others. Ideally, the heirs will all agree on a fair and equitable settlement. That usually means selling the home and splitting the proceeds. Or the heirs could decide to divide up other assets so that one or more heirs is able to hold on to the property. But far too often, heirs have trouble reaching that kind of agreement. Deciding as a group what to do with property becomes a complicated business. There are serious financial and emotional considerations. Financially, what you think is a blessing may actually become a burden when you factor in maintenance costs, taxes, insurance, homeowners association fees, and other expenses. Who makes decisions about maintenance and hires contractors to perform needed work? Will the heirs divide those expenses equally? What happens if one heir doesn't pay his or her share? Sometimes, depending on location, the property becomes something like a timeshare for the various heirs and their families. But then, who determines the schedule for using the place? Emotionally, inheriting real estate may cause heirs to make unwise decisions based on feelings rather than wise money management. In many cases, the family home becomes a money pit that fosters arguments among surviving children who can't even agree on minor things like what color to paint the living room. Children often have different ideas about what to do with inherited property based on their experiences growing up. Resentments that were hidden for years may boil up to the surface when mom and dad aren't around anymore. That's often made worse when one sibling is made executor of the estate. That person is then in a position to lord it over the others. Or the opposite can happen, with the executor heir taking grief from siblings who all demand different things. Handling the estate becomes a nightmare for them as siblings squabble. So as a side note, consider appointing an outside executor or personal representative for your estate. To avoid these potential problems with leaving a house in joint ownership to your heirs, many experts suggest you handle it like any other asset in your will. Simply stipulate in your will that upon your death, all property will be sold and that the proceeds then are to be divided among your heirs. When you do that, some heirs may decide to take the proceeds of that sale as a part of their share in the estate. Others may want to buy out the others if they want to take on full ownership of the home or vacation property. By the way, you don't always have to divide the proceeds equally among your heirs. In his book, Splitting Heirs, financial teacher and author Ron Blue says that if you love your children equally, you will treat them uniquely in your will. Some may have greater needs than others. Some may not be able to handle money as well as others. In those cases, dividing things equally may not be best for your heirs. But the key to making any of this work is transparency. You should discuss your wishes with your family so that no one is surprised after you go home to the Lord. Everyone needs to understand not only your decisions, but why you made them. By having serious discussions about your estate ahead of time, you can eliminate the potential for infighting and resentment later, especially if you make it known that all real property is to be sold upon your death. That's one less thing your heirs can squabble about. If you need help drawing up a will or changing one, it's important to work with an estate attorney who shares your Christian worldview. You can do that by finding a certified Kingdom advisor. Just go to faithfi.com and click Find a CKA. That's faithfi.com and click on Find a CKA. Well, I hope those suggestions will help you avoid conflict among your heirs and give you peace of mind. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. What does it mean to succeed? Every college recruiter tells the next generation that part of that answer will be attending their institution. Every CEO will tell you it's managing a business well. The world will tell us it's being rich and famous. What is success? How do we succeed? Paul had a completely different view in Romans 8. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. That's what he said. In Christ we have success. And I skipped over something. Paul was talking about enduring the hardships of life with the resolute face of faith. In all these things, he said, we are more than conquerors by faith, not by works. Success is found at Calvary. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
If you want a better marriage, pay more attention to your spouse. On the next Focus on the Family, Gary Thomas encourages married couples to communicate more, learn how to forgive, and avoid contempt in their relationship. It's a great formula for taking your marriage to the next level on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Well, we're delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We'd love to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. What are you thinking about? What's been kind of rolling around in your mind, financially speaking, and how can we help you apply the wisdom from God's Word to those decisions and choices? That's what we'd love to do today here on the program. Again, the number to call with lines open, 800-525-7000. We'll go any direction you like, whether that's your retirement savings, maybe your investment portfolio, and how to navigate this volatile market. Maybe it's your debt repayment. You've got credit card debt. You're feeling the pinch of higher interest rates, wanting to know how to get that paid off in the most effective way. Maybe it's your credit score or your giving, whatever it might be. Give us a call, 800-525-7000. Hey, before we head to the phones today, a couple of reminders. One is I'll be in Tupelo, Mississippi for a AFA Foundation Town Hall. That's the American Family Association Foundation Town Hall, April the 20th. That's a Thursday. It'll be from 6 to 8 in the evening at the Cadence Cadence Bank Conference Center there in downtown Tupelo. I'll be there along with Riley Wildman, the director of the AFA Foundation. Wesley Wildman, the AFA Vice President of Outreach, will be there as well. And we'll share a bit about AFA's foundation, the work of the foundation, but also we'll be looking at a biblical view of investing, giving, and even leaving a lasting legacy. What does that look like as a faithful steward of God's resources? If you're near the area or you'd like to travel there, we'd love to have you. You can learn more or register today at afa.net/events. That's afa.net/events. Seating is limited, so you can reserve your seat now. If you'd like to call, do that by reaching out to the AFA Foundation team at 800-326-4543, extension 205. I'll say that again, 800-326-4543, extension 205. And again, we'd love to have you on April the 20th. All right, let's take your calls and questions today, or maybe a testimony. You've seen God at work in your financial life. You'd like to share that with us. Give us a call, 800-525-7000. We've got one line open. Let's begin in Michigan. Hey, Jeremy, thanks for calling. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, was curious what your guys' thoughts are on paying extra on a mortgage, which my wife and I have been doing for a handful of years now, versus taking that extra and investing it or putting it in something, even a money market account that's getting, you know, closer to 4% now.
Yeah, yeah.
What are the thoughts, benefits on both sides?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, it's a bit of a dilemma in the sense that both of them are very productive uses of money. We clearly see we should be moving toward getting out of debt, borrower's servant to the lender. And so, yes, there is a proper use of debt. That's for appreciating assets. Clearly, your home would be in that category. So I don't have any problem with you having a mortgage. But I think the sooner you can get out from under it, the more flexibility you have by being unencumbered. And as you head into retirement, probably much further down the road, having that off the table at that point, or even sooner, takes what's probably your largest expense off the table, which just allows you to live more modestly, have more surplus that you can apply to other things. And there are a lot of non-financial benefits to being completely debt-free, including your mortgage, including peace of mind and just sleeping better at night. You know, Jeremy, I've gotten a lot of calls with people that have regrets about financial decisions. And all the years I've been doing this, I've never had a call from someone who called me and said, "You know, Rob, I paid off the mortgage last year. I've regretted it ever since." I just don't get that call. At the same time, and I will say, here's the flip side, we don't want to miss out on the opportunity for long-term compounding and growth that can occur in a properly diversified portfolio, preferably in a tax-deferred environment where you're investing systematically over the long haul. Because what we know is that, you know, if we have the right time horizon, well, at least 8 years, if we look at every 8 year period going back to 1920s, you know, you're not going to find, well, only in about 2 or 3% of the time out of all of those 8 to 10 year periods has anybody lost money. So, you know, the most effective way to overcome the effects of inflation is to be a long-term investor. So how do you balance all of that? What's the proper approach to it? Well, I think number one is to pray and just ask the Lord to give you wisdom, because you're the steward. And so if you all have a real conviction to be debt-free, I'd say go for it and don't look back. If you're open to carrying the debt, especially if it's low interest mortgage debt, then I think you can entertain the question, okay, which is the most effective given our current financial position? Because we don't want to, you know, take all of our free cash and put it toward the mortgage, which could put us in a difficult spot if we just don't have enough operating room. And how do we make sure that we're on track for our long-term retirement savings? So here's the approach I would take to kind of thinking through that in light of all that background that I just shared. Number one is I'd say let's prioritize having an emergency fund of at least 3 to 6 months' expenses. If you don't have that, I wouldn't be putting it into investments or prepaying the mortgage. If you do, then I'd look at, do I have consumer debt, namely credit cards? If not, great. Let's move on to the next question, and that is, am I on track for retirement? At a minimum, am I putting away 10 to 15% into my retirement account? And if yes, then I think the next step is to say, have I done some retirement planning to know what my ultimate retirement savings goal is? to be able to have enough put aside to be able to supplement other income sources and cover your lifestyle, which is probably going to be 70 to 80% of your pre-retirement income in retirement. And Social Security is never intended to cover more than 40% of that. So are you on track with that? And if not, maybe we need to bump up your retirement savings with some of that surplus. But if you said to me, Rob, we really like the idea of being debt-free. We've got an emergency fund. We've got no consumer debt. We feel like we're on track for retirement, and we've even done some retirement planning to kind of think through that. Then I'd say, absolutely, let's start attacking that mortgage, as long as there's not other medium-term goals like a college education or buying a new car. But there's a lot of information I just threw at you with that, Jeremy. So give me your thoughts.
Yeah, no, the percentages are good to hear, too, as far as goals setting aside for retirement for the future, right? 10 to 15%. And that's something that we probably haven't done as much that we should, because we've focused more on trying to pay off the debt. So finding, is there a happy medium there?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think one of those could be, I'm sorry to interrupt, but just one thought is one of those could be just making one extra mortgage payment a year, whether that's through a biweekly plan where you're sending a half payment every 2 weeks, not twice a month, but every 2 weeks, and that results in 26 half payments or 13 payments, full payments a year. That's going to take a 30-year mortgage and cut 6 years off of it. So that's kind of a happy middle where you're not sending every dollar of surplus to the mortgage, but you are paying beyond what your current scheduled payment is. And by just trying to figure out how to do one extra payment a year, even if you did 1/12 of a payment extra every month, that would make you at least accelerate that payback, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing too to look at, and if talking with a financial advisor, kind of the simplicity of the math to him is, well, your mortgage is 3% right now, because we started it before rates went up, right?
Yeah.
So if the mortgage is only 3% and you can get a return on 4%, his logic is, well, mathematically, you're just making more money on that extra payment, investing and getting 4%.
Not quite, though, because you got to pay taxes on it. You're discounting the peace of mind that comes with being out of debt completely, and you're missing the opportunity to buy into the market while it's down. Let's do this. That's a great thought, though. I'd love to unpack that a bit further. If you can hold the line, we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
Dear 1 million moms, I've always thought that maybe your organization was making a mountain out of a molehill. But today, I cannot believe what I just saw on my TV.
Concerned about the trash flowing into your home through today's media that simply will not censor itself? Make your voice heard. If you see trash in the media, tell us. Use the Submit Trash button at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com. And thanks.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
we understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
It's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. What are you thinking about today financially? Do you have a testimony to share of God's faithfulness in your financial life recently or over decades? Whatever it might be, we'd love to hear from you. We've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. Let's head back to the phones. Just before the break, we were talking to Jeremy in Michigan about whether or not to invest a surplus or accelerate a mortgage payoff. I was sharing, obviously, you could go either direction. I love the financial aspect of being able to plow surplus into long-term investments and get that compounded growth over a long period of time, especially with a low interest rate mortgage. I mean, if you have a mortgage that's more than a year old, you're probably in the twos, high twos, maybe the low threes on that interest rate. Obviously, there's a real benefit to carrying that low interest rate mortgage with a home that's, especially a home that's appreciating, and being able to prioritize that long-term growth. On the flip side is being able to accelerate that mortgage payoff. So at the very least, you have that completely paid off by the time you hit retirement, taking your largest expense off the table, not to mention the peace of mind and flexibility that comes from being completely unencumbered. But Jeremy, you were sharing just before the break, your advisor or some financial professional was saying, yeah, but at 3.5%, if you can get 4% in bank products guaranteed right now, you know, you could even get 5% in a CD. Why wouldn't you do that? And what I would say to that is, A, you've got the tax implications of that. So all of that interest is going to be taxable. So that cuts into your earnings. B, you can get that now, but you may not be able to get that 3 years from now. And so, what are you going to do then? And then C, you've got this opportunity right now with the market down to buy stocks at a discount. So if you're taking that surplus and dollar cost averaging into the market today, you get that longer term appreciation. But none of this factors in just the added benefit of either you having a conviction that you want to be debt-free from the Lord, and if so, I'd say go for it. And two, you just like the idea of waking up knowing you own your home and you're not a servant to the lender like the Bible talks about. So I think we've got to kind of wrestle through that and not make this purely just a spreadsheet equation, but really think through both sides of it. But with that additional thought, give me your thinking on it.
Yeah, and if I lose you, I apologize. You guys can run with the conversation longer, but
sure.
I just noticed that my phone battery was low. So as I look through it too, I look and I don't think that the numbers are very different, over the time frame. But if paying extra on that mortgage cuts it down from 24 years to 15 or 13 years,
yeah,
I look at it and say 13 years from now, we could then take that extra plus the normal mortgage payment, and we could do – there's a lot of options at that point, right?
Yeah, that's
including
right.
Including what you mentioned with college education, because kids would be in that phase of life too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's one of those things that I think, like you mentioned, continuing to pray over the guidance on it. We've generally just leaned towards paying off the debt so that we're not tied to that down the road, and we can get that freedom sooner. But with interest rates and things going up, it's perked my interest on, hey, should we start to look at that? And maybe it's splitting and finding a happy medium.
Yeah, and that's where I usually come down on it, unless it's just obvious in one direction or the other. It would be obvious if you said, hey, we just feel like the Lord's telling us to get out of debt as soon as possible. Well, then I think we just put everything aside and go for it. But if that's not the case, then the other obvious one might be, you know, we don't have an emergency fund or we're way behind on retirement. And I'd say, then let's just keep paying that scheduled payment and let's prioritize, you know, socking that money away. But oftentimes it is in the middle, Jeremy, where you say, you know what, we've got some surplus, so let's take a portion of it and start systematically funding a 529 for college. Let's take a portion of it and bump up our retirement account 2 or 3% a year. And then let's take a portion of it and send as an extra principal reduction so we can send an extra payment or two over 12 months to the mortgage and cut that mortgage down. You even could ask the mortgage company to run an amortization schedule to tell you how much to send extra per month for you to hit a specific goal of a payoff target, 13 or 15 years, and you could take that approach. So I think that's probably the best option where you're doing a little bit of both. You're not going to have that mortgage hanging around 24 years from now, but you're also not, you know, missing the opportunity to take advantage of some long-term compounded growth in either a college savings plan or a retirement account. So it sounds like that's maybe where I would come down. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, yeah. I appreciate it.
Good.
Fun conversation to.
It is. It's a good place to be, right? And I'm confident that you'll, once you land on it, you and your wife, as you continue to think and pray through it, you'll feel really good knowing that you're making progress in both directions. And I think that's the key. Well, listen, thanks for being a part of the program today. We appreciate it very much. By the way, folks often ask about the biweekly mortgage payment. Let me just mention that quickly. Basically what that is you can do it on your own. You don't have to pay your mortgage servicer to do it for you. The math behind it is if you send a half a payment every 2 weeks, and you'd need to talk to your mortgage servicer and make sure they're ready to receive that and credit it appropriately. But if you send an extra half payment every 2 weeks, not twice a month, but every 2 weeks, there are 26 two-week periods. There's 52 weeks in a year. There's 26 two-week periods in a year. That results in 13, half of 26, 13 full payments, which is one more than you would send if you just sent a monthly payment. And so that extra payment a year by sending a half a payment every 2 weeks or one payment a year is going to cut a 30-year mortgage on average down to about 24 years. And so that's another approach. Again, you can do it on your own, but you do want to be in communication with your mortgage servicer so they're going to receive that properly. They're going to credit it appropriately. They're not going to stick it on the back end. They're going to see it as eventually one full payment so that you get credit for making that payment on time. And then when it comes in as an extra half payment, which it will twice a year, that they credit that directly to the principal as well. But that might be something to think about, especially if you get paid every 2 weeks and you could just build that half payment right into your every 2 week paycheck as your bills go out. It's kind of a sneaky way, if you will, in your own finances to get that extra payment in once a year. So just think about that. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. Denise in Arkansas, we're coming your way. Marla and Patricia, hang on right there. We'll get to you as well. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
When I read the book of Esther, it just fires up my encouragement. It reminds me that when things look so bleak that you're just about ready to write the obituary, God rises up from the ash heap of your misdirected hopes, and He reverses the irreversible.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, Esther, for such a time as this, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today, and we were talking about mortgages. By the way, we're about to enter home buying season as the spring is nearly upon us, and if you're looking for a values-driven organization that has a national footprint that really is redefining the mortgage process and can serve you really well, I'd encourage you to learn more about our underwriter, Movement Mortgage. We looked long and hard for years for the national underwriter for this program in the mortgage space, and we couldn't have done any better, in my opinion, than Movement Mortgage. You can learn more at movement.com/faith. That's movement.com/faith. You can check it out today. All right, let's head back to the phones. A few lines open, 800-525-7000. Let's head to Arkansas. Hi, Denise. Go right ahead.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm very nervous. I have a home, and it's not paid for, but I have a Roth IRA. All of my retirement, everything is tied up in this Roth IRA,
yes,
and it comes due in June of 2024. So I am a nurse. I'm still working. I work remotely from home. I code charts for the hospital, do the DRGs and all that. So I'm still working. My husband passed away in November, but he was on hospice. So we had a lot of good planning. My question is, I was listening to you, and I do a lot about being transparent. I thought, I want to leave the home when I pay for it and everything to my three grandchildren. I have one child, and he has three children. And so you had said something about, I don't know, where would I just have like a will drawn up and then give them a copy of it? My son doesn't really speak to me much. He doesn't really want to discuss anything. I don't think he really cares whether I do leave them anything or not, but I did want to leave something to my three grandchildren. So I thought, I heard you say something about selling everything, and who would I get to do that for me after I am gone and I'm no longer here?
Yes, ma'am. Well, you did a great job explaining that, and I'm so sorry to hear about your husband's passing, and but I am delighted to hear that you are thinking about your last stewardship decision, which is how you will transfer what God has entrusted to you to either your heirs or to ministry or charity or both, because there's only three things we can leave: what God has given us to the government, we don't want to do that, or our heirs, or to ministry or charity or your church. So to the extent you want to take this home and direct it directly to the grandkids, you could do that through a will. I'm going to recommend, though, Denise, that you consider a trust. Now, here's the difference. Ultimately, they accomplish a similar thing in that they will direct the disposition of your assets and wealth to the rightful next steward. A will go through the probate courts at your death, and that's the only time that's activated at death, and then it will direct the probate courts and your executor as to how to distribute the assets at that time. The benefit of a trust is it will accomplish a similar purpose, but it has the ability to have an additional provisions. So, for instance, what you could do is you could say, I want the house, which would be retitled in the name of the trust once it's created. And that's a very simple process. The attorney can help you with that. I want the house to go to the grandkids, but I want to make sure they're a certain age. And so the trustee, the person who's responsible for administering the trust when you're incapacitated or at your death, would be able to distribute the assets either based on them reaching a certain age. It could have what's called a spendthrift provision in it, which means that based on their current financial habits, it could allow the trustee to distribute the resources over time so that it's really dependent upon their financial maturity. So you're not dropping a lot of money in their lap before they're ready to deal with it. It could specify how the assets are to be used by the grandchildren. So you can give really some clear guidelines that could prevent this from getting to them too early or at the wrong time or when they're not mature enough to handle it, but still accomplish its intended purpose. It's also going to keep it outside of the probate courts. When you do it through a trust, it's going to go directly, and the courts won't be involved in that. It's also not going to be a part of the public record, if that's important to you. So that's where I would probably go next. It is going to cost you probably $1,500 to $2,000, so it's not inexpensive, but it will ensure that you're able to really set this up the way you want. And where you would go for that would just be to, I would recommend a godly estate planning attorney, someone who would typically draft a will, can very quickly do a living trust, a revocable trust, and that would be how you would handle this. And then at the same time, you could make sure all of your other documents are up to date, your power of attorney, your living will, your healthcare surrogate, all of those things you need to make sure that your end-of-life decisions are honored in that season of life, so that that's covered. But give me your thoughts on all that, Denise.
I appreciate everything you said. I want to be, transparent and open and honest about everything. And I do have my niece. She is my medical power of attorney.
Okay,
because
good.
I'm a nurse, and I know how quickly, any day your life can be so different, and I need somebody to make medical decisions over me.
That's right.
And she's the only blood relative that calls and checks on me every single day.
Oh, wow.
So I do trust those decisions. I do trust those decisions that she would make. She is a nurse. She lives there in Houston. But I do want to be transparent in letting my son know that, I want to leave the children equal amounts. And
yes.
I appreciate you taking my call. I appreciate it so much.
Well, you're welcome. And listen, this doesn't have to be scary or something that's mysterious. I think you just need some good, wise counsel. Make sure your will's up to date. I love that you've selected your niece and you've got all that set with your medical decisions. I think the trust could be really helpful, and especially as it relates to the home and with other assets. And then you can also really, either write out or have some sort of family meeting, but you may may want to just write out kind of your intentions and the why behind the decisions you've made, just to be able to express that to your family so there's clarity behind that. And a godly estate planning attorney can help you think through all of that. So if you need a recommendation, you could call your local church and ask for a referral to an estate planning attorney, or you could visit with one of our certified Kingdom advisors and just ask for a referral to them through a phone call, and they would all have a godly estate planning attorney that they work with. And where you would connect with a CKA, Denise, for a referral to an estate planning attorney would be on our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click find a CKA. You could do a zip code search, call one of them and say, listen, I listened to the Faith and Finance radio show. They said I should call you, and I need a godly estate planning attorney. And they'll give you probably two or three, and you can find the one that's the best fit and then get that person to help you set up the trust and think through any other decisions. I also want to send you a book just as our gift to you. So I want you to stay on the line. Pat's going to get your information. The book is called Splitting Heirs, H-E-I-R-S. It's from Ron Blue, and it's a godly perspective on how you do wealth transfer, not the mechanics of it, but the why, so you can apply biblical wisdom to all the financial decisions you make regarding wealth transfer. Stay on the line. We'll get your information and get that book right out to you, and we'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests, plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7.05 p.m. Central, 8.05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word, and we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. And we hear from so many folks who are wondering, how do I do faith-based investing? What is that? And which mutual funds and ETF investment companies even offer investments that align with my Christian values? Well, a great resource is available. It's absolutely free, covering the topic we discussed yesterday on investing in beautiful. But at the end of that great new tool is a listing of options for faithful investing. And so if you'd like to learn more about all of the amazing fund families, mutual fund families out there offering faith-based investments, I'd suggest you download this free resource so you can have that list, and perhaps you could learn a bit more about this growing industry of investing aligned with your Christian values. You can download it today at faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. That's faith faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. You can check out at the very end of that resource a listing called Options for Faithful Investing. I think it'll give you perhaps what many of you have been looking for as you look to get more information on these amazing investment options that are out there today. All right, let's head back to the phones. We're going to head to Indiana. Maria, I understand you heard Jeremy's question about paying off his mortgage, and you have a testimony. Go right ahead.
Yes, I want to tell you that this is a testimony for young people like him and for other young people who I'm praying will listen to this program of yours. Anyway, I am already retired, 68, and I was very late in entering the stock market. But I am a tither. So when in 2002, I was told that my work will be disconnected. It will be, and then it was held. But no one was telling me that it will be restored despite the fact that I have a contract. So what I did was, first of all, I have a 401k.
Okay.
I started maxing that in the first quarter so that if I lose my job anytime during the year, I have already done that.
Yes.
Then secondly, I needed a house, and so I bought a house that was well below my means, and I got a mortgage. I don't know if it was 30 or 15, but what I did was every time I have extra money, it was irregular. Like if I have $1,000 this month, I will put that on a separate check and put my account number, my whatever ID you need, and you have to say added to principal, to principal.
Right.
So before I knew it, so by the time, I retired in 2012. By the time I retired, I had about almost equal, I paid my mortgage, and then I was able to save money equivalent to my annual income. The other thing that I did was during the time that I was working, I really was working. All I did was pray in the morning, do my tithing, work hard.
Yes. I love it. Well, listen, Maria, you're exactly right. And you were faithful over a long time, making good decisions, being disciplined in prepaying that mortgage as extra comes in. You know what happens so often is as we get either pay increases or we have income come in that's unexpected from a variety of sources, our level of spending always rises to our level of income unless we protest to the contrary, unless we say, no, just because I got a bump in my pay or I got some unexpected income, I'm not going to allow that to find its way into additional lifestyle spending. I'm going to make sure that that gets to mortgage reduction. And that's those extra checks you were sending marked apply to principal. Or I'm going to make sure that gets into my IRA and I'm going to invest it for the long haul. And if you just do those small steps over time, you'll have an incredible opportunity to both build additional wealth as well as dump debt. And both of those things are really going to set you up for the future. So I hope the younger folks, but really all folks, were listening to your admonition today, Maria, because it was great advice. And I'm delighted that you were a part of the program. Thanks for calling today. Let's head to Florida. Patricia, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, good. This is my first time calling your show, and yes, I'm a little bit nervous.
Okay.
I did listen to what Maria said, and she's perfectly right. I, too, am over 68. I recently retired. I retired last year. And before I retired, I made sure I paid off my house, paid off a new car, and had extra money in the bank. And one of the things I did was the house mortgage, I basically put into a savings account that mortgage amount so that no matter what, I have that kind of cushion. Now, my problem stands with the fact now I have to find a place to put my pension that I'm getting from my job, and I don't know which direction to go in. I don't owe any bills or anything. I'm doing fine where that's concerned, but where that part of the finance is concerned, I am very, I'm a novice. I have no idea what I'm doing.
Well, so you're not too much of a novice because you've been making some great decisions, and I love the fact that you were able to enter retirement completely debt-free, Patricia, and you've got this pension that you essentially don't even need because your bills are covered, which is amazing. Is that coming to you as a monthly check, or would it be a lump sum that you would have the opportunity to do something with?
I have a choice. According to the documentation they gave me, I can either do it as a lump sum. And if I do choose that, then what will happen? Of course, the government will take 25% of whatever that money is.
Yeah.
Or I can have them pay me out on a monthly basis, which would be over, you know, about $600 a month.
Yeah, $600 a month, or how much would the lump sum be? And here's what I'm thinking. One option is we roll it to an IRA, which is not a taxable event, so they don't withhold anything, and the full amount gets rolled over to the IRA. Then it could be invested, and we could talk about who would help you with that. And so you're not incurring any taxes, but you've got 100% of the money that's available to you if you need it. What is the full amount if you were to get the lump sum? Do you know?
Let me see. It's approximately $100,000.
Okay.
So it'll be about $75,000 to $80,000.
Okay. But if you roll it to an IRA, they're not going to withhold the 20% because that's not a taxable event. So you could roll it out into the IRA, and they're not going to send anything to the government. You'd have the full $100,000 in there, which would probably be the way that I'd prefer you go. Because, if you get the $600 a month, when you die, that's gone. Right. But if you get the $100,000 and it's invested properly, you know, what we would typically do is say you can pull 4% a year if it's invested properly. And you should never, you know, over time, not in any given month or quarter, you should never be below your initial purchase price or your initial principal value of $100,000. So you could take $300 a month for life and still, when you pass away, in theory, have $100,000 to give away to ministry or to leave as an inheritance. And if you need the money because you needed long-term care, you had to go into nursing care or in-home care, you'd have access to the full $100,000 at that point. You'd have to pay tax on it as it comes out, but you could get to it as opposed to just being able to get the $600 a month, which you don't really need. I'd rather you have the full principal. So I think your next step is to reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor and look at rolling that pension to an individual retirement account, an IRA, having them manage it for you very conservatively, but in the market where maybe you have 20 or 30 or 40% at the most in stocks, the rest in bonds and fixed income type investments. And then it's there growing. If you need it, you can get to it. If you want to draw an income from it of $300 a month or a little more, you could. And I think that's going to be the best option. And they're not going to take any taxes out of it if you roll it to an IRA. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Now, this is my very first time listening to your show. I came up on it accidentally. How would I go about getting a Kingdom advisor?
Yeah. So let me tell you how to do that. Do you use the internet? Are you comfortable, Patricia, on the web?
Pretty much.
Okay. And if you need somebody to help you, you could, but it should be fairly simple. Just go to our website. It's faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and you'll see right there at the top of the page, it says Find a CKA. That stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor. These are men and women who've met high standards in character and competence, pastor reference, client reference. They've been trained to bring biblically wise financial advice. They've had a regulatory review. It's a high bar, but once they do all of that, they become a CKA, and then you can do a zip code search. I'd interview two or three. Find the one that's the best fit for you. So faithfi.com, just click Find a CKA. Thanks very much for your call. Quickly to Texas. Terry, I understand you're wondering about home title theft. Is that right?
That's correct, Rob.
All
thanks
right.
for taking my call.
Yeah, I got just about 30 seconds, so let's try to make it real quick.
A lot of advertisements on home title theft. What's the deal there? Is it easy for somebody to steal your title?
It is not. And, you know, it does happen, but here's the thing. You don't need to pay anybody to check that. So the thing I'd do is I'd contact your county deed office. You probably can put an alert on it. Most counties are now doing this. Not all, but where they would notify you if there's any change. The bottom line is if somebody steals your title, they can't foreclose on you because it's fraud. I mean, they took it fraudulently. They're not the rightful owner. And so you can stay on top of this yourself. You don't need to pay anybody to do it. I think the biggest thing is just, you know, check your credit reports, keep on track of your bills, but you don't need to pay anybody for home title theft insurance. There really is no such thing in reality. Thanks for your call today. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Thanks for being along with us. Grateful for my team, Pat, Robert, and Devin. Thank you for being here as well. May God bless you. Go out and live for Jesus and use his money to support his purposes. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.